Good morning, friends, and welcome again to Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church. Today's Sunday, October 4th, and another day to worship God. As we're in God's house today, and I look around, and I see how God is continuing to bless us. I hear from many of you that have remained home that you are staying in God's Word, that you continue to join us on Sundays to worship. And so today is going to be no different. We're going to take advantage of today. We're going to stop and we're going to just put everything aside and we're going to praise the Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, God, to worship you. Father, you are the God of all creation and that you love us. And Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, today we worship you with all of our heart. And God, we pray that you would speak to us today. God, allow us to see how you want us to live our lives to make an impact in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods. God, we love you today. Speak to us. Let us rejoice as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get started, take some time now. Just let the words of the songs that we sing just let them fill your hearts as we worship. Pastor Dylan, will you lead us?
The Lamb that was slain.
So good morning, and as we prepare to get into God's Word today, we're going to be in the 13th chapter of John. We're picking up somewhere in the middle of Passion Week. And so as you prepare, get your Bibles out. I want you to follow along with me as we're in John chapter 13 today. Jesus is going to set them an example. And he's going to say, do as I have done. That brought me back to my time when I was in my military career stationed at Fort Bragg. I remember every Friday, we would have to make sure that we cleaned up the area before we could leave for the day. It started with our team room where we'd have to sweep and mop, and we'd go out into the hallway and have to wind up buffing and making sure that they were nice and waxed and spotless before we left for the weekend. One Friday, one of my soldiers looked over at me and said, Sergeant, what's a senior non-commissioned officer, a senior sergeant, a high-ranking sergeant, doing at the business end of a broom and a mop? I looked at him and I said, leading by example. I thought that would demonstrate that it doesn't matter what level you are, that you are to lead. And for me, I felt it was important that I moved right along with them, showing them that I was humble enough to use a broom and a mop. Jesus would come and show us an even more menial task than that. Passion Week begins when Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding in on a donkey. That week that he's there, he comes in, they're singing, praise you, hallelujah. He rides in as a king. By Monday, though, Jesus goes into the temple and he sees that there is corruption. And he overturns the tables and he throws out many of those that were being corrupt in the temple. He creates a stir. Tuesday comes and he confronts the religious leaders. He challenges them on their hypocrisy, again, creating more tension within the town of Jerusalem. Wednesday, Judas makes his decision that he's going to betray Jesus. And by Thursday, we see Jesus preparing and having the Last Supper with his disciples. The next day, he will be arrested and put on trial and will be hung on the cross. So Passion Week describes that week, the final days of Jesus. Today, as we get into his word, let me start with a word of prayer. And I'm going to begin by reading all of our passages today from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And then we're going to get into our message. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we read in your word that Jesus set an example for us and that we need to do and follow in his ways, God, let the example be one that we would be humbled enough to be a servant like Jesus was. God, we pray that today that you would open the hearts and minds of all those that will receive your message today. As we read your word, Lord, your word says in Psalm 119, verse 18, open our eyes that we would see wonderful things in your law. God, let today be a day as we read from John chapter 13. Let us have a sense of knowing that you were the ultimate example and that we are to follow in your footsteps. God, we love you, and we wait now for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 13. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go into the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Today, as we see this passage, I want to share with you two key points that I got out of it. First, Jesus demonstrates a humble servant. And second, he demonstrates holiness by how he cleansed us. And so as we look at those two points, I want to first start with being a humble servant. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. It's the evening meal that has begun. If we read from the Matthew 26 passage, verse 20, it says, "When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. For many of us today, it's difficult for us to understand what it meant by he was reclining at the table. But back then, in the typical fashion of a Jewish home, the table would have probably been a U-shaped table so that the servants would be able to come into the opening of the U and be serving food around the table. The table itself is only about a foot off the ground. There's no chairs for them to pull up to the table like we have today. But there are cushions on the ground. And the typical fashion for them to sit around the table was for them to get down onto the cushion and typically for them to be sideways leaning onto the table, which is only a foot off the ground, with their feet extended away from the table. With the U-shaped table that Jesus would have had them sit around, most scholars believe that there would have been five on one side of the table and five sitting on the other side of the table. And the host would have been sitting at the U portion or the curved portion of the table and the center. And there's still some debate about who's sitting to the right and to the left, but some of the scriptures do tell us that John leans back into the front of Jesus' chest. And so it's only fitting that he would be on one side of Jesus, the side that was to his front while he was leaning on the table. So that you have that image now of them sitting around the table. It's a foot off the ground. They're kind of leaning into the table, waiting for the food to be delivered. We hear our passage today in verses 3 through 5. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. Washing of the feet was a menial task that no master, no teacher would perform. Sometimes a wife would perform that task for the husband, but usually a Gentile slave was the one that was directed to be the one to perform that task of washing the feet. Jesus took this opportunity as an unforgettable lesson in humility. If you can imagine, they're sitting around the table with their feet extended outward, and Jesus gets up from that table. He goes over and grabs a basin and pours water into it. With a towel wrapped around him, he gets down on one knee and washes each of his disciples' feet, starting at one end and then working his way to the other. The pouring of water into the basin and washing his feet was symbolic of Jesus humbling himself to be a servant. We see that Peter challenges Jesus. By the time Jesus gets to Peter, we don't know if he's the last one, but Scripture says that Peter says, "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." It says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," says Peter. He says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." He says, "Lord, you are not going to stoop down to that level to wash my feet. That should never happen." Peter, in his own right, was probably thinking that he was more important than the rest of them, as he's made that claim in the past. But Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter then says, "Lord, not just then my feet, do my hands and my head as well. Do my whole body, Lord." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean." Jesus plays on the humility of him being a servant, but he touches on the fact that this washing is also a cleansing, a spiritual cleansing, and he says that one of you is not clean. If you'll notice Peter, he says first to the Lord, he says, "Don't wash my feet." And when Jesus says, "Then have no part of me, then I don't want to have anything to do with you," he says, "Let's do all of me." Peter finally gives in to the Lord. When he allows Jesus to wash his feet, that's an act of humility as well. I think about the times that I've had the opportunity to have my feet washed by a humble man that was being a servant. It's a moment of not just humility, but in the case of Jesus, it was a moment of him demonstrating his love. When Jesus returns and goes back to the table, we see him then addressing his disciples. When he had finished washing his feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he says, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should go as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus says, "I have set you an example. Do as I have done." Jesus demonstrated humility when he took on the role of a slave or a servant. The best description I can give you that the Apostle Paul writes about how Jesus took the form of a slave or a servant is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Paul says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who in being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. That Greek word servant is doulos. It means slave. That he took the very nature of a slave, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul uses that phrase to begin with. He says, in your relationship with one another, to serve each other, just like Christ sacrificed and became a slave or a servant, that he humbled himself for us and that we need to do the same. Paul's saying that if Jesus could humble himself to die on a cross, the most cruelest of deaths, that no menial task that we could be given is too low. Peter remembered that moment as he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to Peter's remembering of this moment of Jesus humbling himself. He says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Jesus demonstrated humility by doing the most menial tasks assigned to a slave. And he said, now that I have done this, do as I have done. James even tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Jesus is saying, I have showed you how to do this. I've showed you how to humble yourself. Now do it. Jesus uses the task of washing feet to demonstrate that God's love for us and for our neighbors is how we need to demonstrate the same love. Demonstrating love was through acts of service. Listen to some of these scripture passages about that demonstration of love, that act of service, of humbling oneself. 1 Peter 4 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Galatians 5:13 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 20:28, listen to Jesus. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 9:35, he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Jesus demonstrated what it was like to be a servant, washing the disciples' feet, and then going to the cross. Listen to John 13:15 again. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. We must be a humble servant. The second thing I want you to pick up on is that not only is Jesus demonstrating being a humble servant, but he's also given an indication of their spiritual cleanliness. Their holiness, meaning that they were cleansed by Jesus. Listen to the passage as we get to the middle of it here. It says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. I am showing that I am cleansing you. Peter said, "No, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon replied, "Not just my feet, my hands and my head as well." And Jesus replied this way, and this is where I want you to think about a spiritual journey for a minute. He said, "Those who have had a bath, who have cleaned their whole body, need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." Jesus is saying, your whole body has already been cleaned. Your feet are dirty. They're slightly defiled. You don't need to re-clean your whole body again. Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." That word, "no part of me," in the Greek, is pronounced "mero." It means to participate or have a share in someone or something. You have no share in me. You will not have anything to do with me. Jesus uses two other words in our text today that give us the imagery of being cleansed or being clean. He uses the word "wash." That word "wash," I see it at least five times in our text. "Wash my feet." "You're not going to wash my feet." "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "We only need to wash your feet." In washing of the feet, the word "wash" in the Greek was called nipto. And it meant only washing a part of the body. But he uses the word "luo," which is the word "bath" that we used in our text. And it means to bathe all over. The imagery is that if you trust in Jesus as your Savior, that he has bathed you all over, and his sin and your sins are washed away. You're forgiven. Think about that for a moment. When you first asked Jesus into your heart, he has bathed you and cleansed you and washed you from head to toe. You're saved. You're found innocent, not guilty. We see in at least Paul's writings that he uses the same imagery of being washed. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11 says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3. He says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." Jesus shed his blood for our sins. That imagery of the sins are that of being defiled or being dirty. Jesus says, "I have cleansed you all over. Your whole body is clean. Then why am I washing your feet?" Sometimes our feet get dirty. That imagery again of sin creeping into our lives. John said in 1 John chapter 1, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." What imagery is that? Jesus said, "You have all been bathed already." Hebrews 9:22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Matthew 26, 28, we see, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Many of you will recognize that passage as right after the washing of the feet, Jesus then performs communion with them, the Last Supper. Jesus uses this example. He says, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet." Have you had a bath? Has Jesus cleansed you with his blood? That's one of the questions that you need to ask yourself today. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Do I believe that? If you say yes and cry out to Jesus, you have been bathed by the blood of the Lamb. As we walk in this world, though, our feet will tend to get dirty. We'll be defiled by the world, and we don't need to get a bath all over again. We need just to wash our feet symbolically as asking for forgiveness daily of the sins we've committed. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. I want you to look at this passage again, and I want you to think about those 12 disciples. Jesus says to Peter, now we don't know if he was shouting it out loud for them all to hear, but he says, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. The whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew that one would betray him. When Jesus had come back around and he sat down and he says this to the crowd, realize that most scholars believe that Judas was to his left. Not all of you are clean. Not all of you have been bathed or are pure. Judas was not cleansed, was not purified, and was not saved. But for the Christian, for you and I today, we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We may get our feet dirty every once in a while. We need to repent and ask forgiveness. Jesus gave us that imagery. First, he said, "I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to do this menial task. But this task that I'm performing, this act of humility, is one that has a second purpose and a second meaning, and it's that of spiritual cleansing, that I am washing away the sins or the dirt that defile you." Today, as a church, I want you to look at a few things. I want to try to apply a few of these principles. Jesus gave us the example, and he says, "You are to do the same that I have done." And so first, he was a humble servant. We need to be willing to serve. We need to recognize that no task is beneath us. I've heard it at previous churches, when a ministry leader or the pastor or a deacon comes up and asks someone, "Hey, would you be willing to take care of the chairs or to clean the sanctuary or to maybe do the bathrooms?" And most people will say, "That's not my spiritual gift," or, "I'm going to pray about it and see if God's calling me to that calling." Jesus didn't need to be called to wash his disciples' feet. It was a task that needed to be done. They had just come in for dinner, and it was the tradition to wash their feet before they ate dinner. Jesus didn't have to pray about it. He didn't say, "It's not my spiritual gift." And so we, Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church, need to recognize that no task is too menial for us. We need to serve others. And as I started to think about how we can serve others during this time of COVID, it's quite difficult, but I came up with a few that you might be able to do on your own. For those that are sick, take food to them. Take them some soup or take them a meal. Take them some dessert. Maybe help a neighbor take out the trash can to the curb, especially if you have older neighbors that you see them every day of the week that the trash come taking that trash can out and bringing it back. Or maybe volunteer to work at a local soup kitchen. Or better yet, join us on November 22nd, where we will be packing 250 meals for the homeless as part of our celebration of our 25th anniversary. Humble yourself. No task is too menial. Second, we need to recognize that we are cleansed by Jesus. If you've never made a decision, today is the day that you get a bath. That Jesus says, I will wash you clean. If you've already made a decision for Christ, you don't need to take a bath again. You need to just have your feet washed. Having your feet washed looks like a relationship with Jesus where you ask for forgiveness and he cleanses you daily. In order to do that, you need to be in God's Word. You need to be in prayer, individually and corporately. Finally, we need to fellowship with other believers. For us, being a humble servant looks like serving others. Today, I want to offer an opportunity for you to make a decision for Christ, to humble yourself, and to truly say, I love God with all my heart. As our worship team comes forward, I want to close us in a time of prayer. Father, we come before you right now as we saw Jesus around the table, humbling himself, stepping away from the table to perform a task of washing his disciples' feet. Lord, he set an example for us, and we need to be prepared to wash the feet of others, to serve others, and God, to give our best. Lord, today I pray that those that have heard this message would reflect on where they're at right now. Do they need a bath? If they do, today's the day. Today's the day that they are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, by professing that Jesus is Lord and Savior, by asking forgiveness, and saying, God, save me. They'll receive their bath. And Lord, for the others, daily they need to come before you, myself included, that we need to ask, Lord, wash my feet. Forgive me of my sins. And Lord, cleanse me. Father, we thank you for your message today. And Lord, as we go into a time of just continued time of worship, let this be a time where decisions are made for you, whether to be bathed fully or to have my feet washed again. Whatever the decision, Lord, hear our cries now. In Jesus' name, amen. Dylan, will you lead us? As Jesus moved from the table, he took a basin in a vase and poured the water into it. He demonstrated humility, and he demonstrated spiritual cleansing. Today, we as a church need to fulfill both of those. As he says, I have set you an example. Do as I've done. Friends, thank you for hearing God's word today. Thank you for joining us. If you've made a decision to be bathed, I'd like for you to reach out and contact us. If you're on Facebook, send us a message, either an instant message or private message. Call the church. Let us know that you've been bathed by the blood of the Lamb. And friends, I know that every one of us will need to get our feet washed day by day. And so we thank you for joining us today. Go out and be a servant. Go out and share the love of Christ. Go and share Jesus. Take care, and God bless.